Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club March Edition 2023. We just hit our 3-year anniversary of the Redheads Book Club and 70,000 followers on Instagram. Hey, girls, how we doing?
Wow. What an entrance.
Right?
It's what a time.
Big month for the Redheads. This is our 40th book. We're going into our fourth year. And 70K followers on Instagram, which is insane for like a little book community.
The little book club that could.
The little book club that could. It's been so organic, obviously. I would never sully the Redhead's name by like buying followers. But it's also been like really steady over time. It's not like, you know, we had this big viral moment where everyone was talking about the Redheads because of an explosive episode. That's so not us. We're just the consistent queens that you love. And we are so glad that you're all here. And we are so glad for today's episode because we are discussing this month's book, which was The Measure by Nikki Ehrlich. And I don't want to overhype anything, but I feel like this book is I feel like this episode could be 3 hours. Like there is so much to talk about with this book. I've never gotten more questions in the Redheads email about a book in the history of the Redheads. Quantity of emails, and also in each email there was 5 to 10 questions per person, like no joke. So I tried to combine them all, and a lot of them were obviously similar. Would you open it? We'll get into it. Before we do, I gotta check in with my girlies. Let's start with Becky, since this month was the Becky's choice, and because I weirdly, on a personal level, haven't caught up with Becky in a few.
Jax, I spend every morning and go to bed every evening being like, I miss my girl. I don't know what it is. I've just like, every time I'm about to FaceTime you, I'm like, this is a horrible time, and I know it's a horrible time for both of us, so like, I'll find another moment. Miss you more than anything. I don't know what's going on.
I know. We just have to find our time. It's so hard because like so many times I'm like, you know, I put Harry down. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to talk to, you know, have a long convo. But then it's like, ugh. Fortunately and unfortunately, I'll never get off the phone and I have to go to sleep, you know?
Fortunately and unfortunately, there's just not enough energy in this lifetime, and I would like to be alone like 9 times out of 10. Yeah. So we're going to find our stride. We'll find our moment. In the meantime, not a ton has been going on. I'm in the throes of wedding planning and I could not recommend it less. It is just a toxic situation. Just kidding. Like, it's just a full-time job on top of an already full-time job and on top of being, like, immersed in the Redheads. So, which is obviously my number one priority.
But we only ask something out of you, really, like, 1 week out of the month. You know? We're very non-demanding over here.
100%. But, like, I would demand all my time to the Redheads. Planning a wedding is so exhausting, and there's so many decisions to be made. And I just don't really care all that much, so I'm like, why do I have to decide, you know?
Yeah, I literally, that was me too.
Yeah, no, I think we're pretty similar about like when it comes to this situation, but it's all like for the greater good of marrying Evan, who I'm obsessed with, so like it's a good thing.
Yeah, good problems to have, but still like just annoying. I mean, any bride or former bride could tell you we've all been there.
Yeah, it's just like
we're not jealous.
The wedding industry is a farce. Like, who's going to, like, blow it up, you know?
Yeah. So true. We need some disruption.
That's where
I'm having a really hard time planning my wedding. Like,
yeah. I didn't even get my invite yet.
I know, we're so behind on invites. Like, we're really working on it.
Snitch, let's have a Benet wedding.
Oh my God, totally. Okay, I have some time to find someone to show up at the altar.
Love that.
Snitch, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just chilling, you know, same old snitch. SOS. Same old snitch.
That's so snitch to be the same old.
Same old. Same young snitch. SYS.
Totally. And you're feeling a little sick. Same sick snitch.
I'm feeling sickly. I have a cold. It's fine. It's just quite annoying, you know, like my nose area is in a lot of pain.
I'm so sorry that you're going through
that. It's going around New York.
Is it? Well, I got it like 3 weeks ago, so I thought I was fine. But now she's back.
Oh, that's the worst. I'm actually annoyed to hear that because I was sick last week. And I think I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'll never get sick again.
No.
I don't know.
I'm here to show you. I'm your role model. Back.
It's possible.
Dana, how are you?
I'm great. Nothing that noteworthy to report. I'm so excited for March Madness. It's coming up soon.
What?
It's my favorite time of year. You all better join my bracket this time around. Colgate has a chance of making it. They're playing Thursday for like the quarterfinals, and we're just going to send out good juju for them to make the tournament again this year. And that's kind of like what I'm looking forward to right now.
They're playing Thursday, which is the day this episode drops. So where can we watch?
Coincidence? I think not.
No, I think not.
Wow, it was just like the last thing I thought you were going to say.
She's unpredictable, that Dana. Also, speaking of March Madness, that's usually when we do Redheads Madness, where we do a bracket of every single book we've read and we come to number one. I'm down.
Didn't we just do it?
I'm so down.
I feel like we just did it.
2 years ago. I didn't do it last year.
Jackie, you did a poll recently.
We did something about end of the year books.
It was end of year.
Which we always do. We have a lot of ways in which we measure success at the Redheads and
the measure.
The measure of the Redheads lies within. No, we do end of year, reader's choice, editor's choice. We do all books of all time. Like, we get really in depth with our ranking system because we love numbers and letters at the Redheads.
How are you, Jax?
Oh, thanks, Dana. I'm good. Thank you. I'm really excited to be doing the Redheads. And I really want to get into everything because we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And I podcast all day, every day. This is my third episode recording of the day. Like, no flex or anything.
Podcast.
So, like, everyone knows everything about me. You know, there's somewhere you could find it.
That's fair.
100%. This will be dedicated to the book.
Yeah, this will be dedicated to the book, which was a Becky's choice. So I'm going to do a quick summary of the book, and then we'll get into our top line thoughts and then all of the philosophical questions that it poses. So this month's book was The Measure by Nikki Ehrlich, and it is sort of a dystopian novel. It's set in present day. The world looks just as our world does, except one March morning, everyone wakes up, and outside of their door, their place of residence, wherever they slept their head that night, outside the door is a box, a wooden box with their name on it for everyone on Earth over the age of 22. You open up the box and there's a string inside. The string is of any length, and at first no one knows what these boxes are, what the strings are, what do they mean. The boxes say on them, the measure of your life lies within. A lot of people start to speculate that this is somehow predicting how long your life will be. There are a lot of different theories that go around. After a few weeks of living with the boxes and taking records of like what they mean and who's living and who's dying, government starts to conclude that it is the measure of your life. So if you open this box, you know how long you will live. The more time that goes by, the more accurate of an assessment they can make about how long your string actually is, you know, down to the year, down to the month. So we follow a bunch of different people on their journey, mostly short stringers or people who are in love with short stringers or married to short stringers. And it's all about how the world copes with this new normal. Now everyone knowing, or if they want to know, they can know exactly how long they will live and all of the different ways it plays out in society, which at first I didn't know what I expected to happen in the book. And nothing even like happened other than just like things played out. There wasn't like a big moment where it was like, you know, God comes down and says, these are your boxes. It's like, we still don't know where the boxes came from. People have theories about that. Was it, you know, some sort of government NSA situation? Is it the Lord Almighty, aliens? That is up for discussion and we will talk about it. But it's about all the different ways that the boxes affect people's individual lives and society as a whole, how different countries handle it, what level of governmental intervention there is, how people treat people who have a different length string than they do. And we're reading most of it from the perspective of short stringers who become really maligned in society for a period and treated as other because people don't trust them. One, it's like, why would I hire you for this job if you're going to die soon? Two, if you're going to die soon, you might do something crazy because you're so mad that you found out you're going to die soon. Like, all of these different assumptions and conclusions are drawn about people with short strings, and that leaves them to be very discriminated against. And so we see how all of our different protagonists handle it. We have Mora and Nina, who are a couple who are very much in love. One of them has a long string, one of them has a short string. How do they cope with that? We have Ben, an architect with a short string. A lot of the short stringers that we follow end up joining a support group together where their stories really interweave with one another. What I loved about the book is that it felt like this was about eight strangers who all cross each other's paths over the course of the book. So it wasn't super random. Very Leanne Moriarty, honestly. So that's the book. Let's get into our thoughts. Becky, you shall go first. Did you like it as it was a Becky's choice?
This certainly was a Becky's choice. And I always appreciate a book that inspires thoughtful discussion. And The Measure brought to light a lot of questions about the length and the meaning of one's life and the decision-making path that correlates. So that was really interesting. Ultimately, this book was a no for me, dog.
No fucking way.
Okay, I honestly was about to say, like, I want to go last because I really wanted to hear everyone's thoughts and not, like, sully the good name of this book.
So I just want to give a little backstory because this was Becky's choice, but I suggested it to Bex because I had heard really good things. I literally heard specifically that it's a great book for book clubs, which I didn't even know what that meant. But after reading it, like, yeah, there's so many questions. Like, I couldn't find enough book club question guides out there. Like, I couldn't whittle it down. So as much as it's a Becky's choice, like, I feel like you don't identify with it as a Becky's choice. I almost, like, want to, maybe I should claim this one and give you my next one.
I couldn't agree more, Jackie. This was not a Becky's choice. Like, yes, it was. I selected it. But, like, I don't know her. I don't know this book.
And wow.
Let me explain. I think it is a phenomenal book for a book club. Like, I'm so glad we are delving into the details. But honestly, after the unveiling of the boxes and the strings, it felt like nothing else happened. It was a book about, like, coming to terms with the strings' meaning. I thought it got very verbose. I thought so many of the characters were on their soapboxes pontificating, and I found myself just not caring. And I'm not sure if I'm dead inside, but that is truly, like, I was just, like, reading swaths of paragraphs, like, and I was like, what? I'm good. Like, I understand, like, this happened, and, like, we're just dealing with the ramifications, and now we have a whole book about talking about it. Okay, here we go.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at.
Okay, we're going to move on, but I think we should circle back to the idea of swapping it because Dana and Snitch were both like to me, are you so mad you gave Becky this book? Because, like, they think it's going to go down as one of the best books of all time for the Redheads, and I don't even get to
and
claim
it.
It
honestly might go down. People are obsessed with this book, and I'm telling you, like, there is something dead inside of me. I don't know who she is, but I can't shake it. I did not enjoy it one bit.
Wow. Okay,
we'll come back to this. Dana, what did you think?
I really liked this book. I don't entirely disagree with some of your points, but I'll just give my whole overview. I love the themes of just, like, free will versus fate, knowledge versus innocence. Like, if you change this, how would that change that? I felt like it was a very me kind of book, similar to Midnight Library-esque in that same vein of what if. I didn't love the writing. I thought it was a little juvenile. It wasn't the literary fiction that I usually aspire to read, but the concept was so compelling that it was easy to overlook the writing that I didn't necessarily love. And Rit, I agree that it dragged a little. Like, after, I thought she did a phenomenal job in the beginning. Like, she really explored all possible avenues of, like, how to think about and approach every sort of scenario that one could encounter with short strings versus long strings. And then after that, I did kind of feel like we were just going in a circle about, like, people pontificating, great word. But overall, like, it was so thought-provoking, and every new thing that they brought up, I saw my mind, like, going in another place of how I would think about it, and this way, and, like, while the book, I kind of felt pushed us towards an agenda of like short stringers on the right side of history and all of that, I didn't entirely think it was black and white. Like at times I found myself agreeing with Anthony, and those sort of like issues that it provoked, I was just very happy to read and have a book that like just made me think, which doesn't happen often.
Great. Thank you, Dana. Snitch, what did you think?
Okay, first, like, can I get a dictionary check on pontificating?
Going on and on.
I loved this book. It was giving me Midnight Library vibes, like the type of book that like truly like makes you think. I do agree in terms of like there was just some points where like I was reading some chapters and I was like, Jesus, like I don't really care, like this, we've got to get the ball rolling here. But ultimately I thought it was so interesting, and like it was literally parallel to like the world that we literally live in. Like, is no one going to talk about that? Like, the measure is the pandemic, and then like the short stringers and long stringers is like vax and anti-vax. Like, that's literally what this book is about.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah. It's just like no one's mentioned that this is like real IRL.
It's in the question.
It felt very germane to the last few years, and I wonder if that's a complete coincidence from the author, or she saw some themes emerging in the last few years that then she wrote a book about for us to see it in this way. But I also think it wasn't just about, like, of course, you know, having just been through the pandemic and like all the vaccine mania, it felt so similar. But I think also she was just drawing from history in general, where like these themes happen over and over again.
Yeah. But also, like, the boxes came in March.
Zitch! Like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Like, connection.
Guys, also, you can't say that, like, I don't know that if the pandemic didn't happen in 2020 that we would have this book. Like, maybe.
Agree. It was released in spring 2022, which means that she spent 2020 and 2021 writing it. So, like, all signs point to she's trying to say something bigger about the pandemic. I didn't look for like an interview with the author, but I was looking for reviews and stuff, and I didn't like see that many people saying this, which is that like it felt like a critique on our society and the way that we handle the last few years.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that it was like vax versus not vax. It like I didn't realize that that was the correlation. I knew that like there was a correlation with the pandemic, but I didn't see it so clearly as vax, not vax.
Oh, I saw it. To me, it was a book about the
vaccines. Yeah, it was like, clear as day.
The mandates and the fear that people had, like based on, you know, the unknown, but the fear that people had.
Like, the vaccine is a choice, whereas like the box arrived at your doorstep whether you wanted it to or not.
No, for sure. But like the box, you have to see the box as like the pandemic, like COVID-19. And then you have to see like the whole like short stringers, like long stringers, like the mandates, like the army, like you had to like say whether or not you were short string or long string. That's like when you would go to work and you had to be vaccinated, or you had to like say whether or not you were, like that's where the correlation is.
And even if you really want to like line up the choices, opening the box, like so many people in the army in the book hadn't opened the box yet, but they forced them to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I just felt like there was so much less decision-making ability when it came to the strings, that whereas like the vaccine, I feel like you do have the ability to decide whether or not like you are going to get it. So, but that's interesting.
But you don't have the ability to decide if you're going to get it, if it means like losing your job.
Right. That's not really the case anymore, but for a time period,
and
there
like
was.
And, like, flying. Yeah, for a time period, like, you couldn't fly without mm-hmm. it. There were restrictions that were imposed.
You couldn't go to a restaurant.
Vaccine in early. Yeah. But I agree. When I was reading
it, you could go to a restaurant as a long stringer or a short stringer.
Yes.
For now.
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, still, like, live your life as a short or longer. Like, it was just.
Well, because like, it never got that far. You know? Like, it started with, like, they were starting to do those mandates. And, like, with, like, work or, like, the military or whatever. And then when that strung together thing, whatever it's called, organization started, it kind of started to lessen, like, when people started to fight back.
It started to turn the tide. But I do think it got worse before it got better. But we didn't see it get worse. We only just knew that, like, Rollins was elected. But he was elected after the strung together movement.
I know.
So there must have been, like, 4 years where he enacted those policies. And then we jumped to the future where people sort of, like, regain their composure and learn to live with the strings.
I wish we heard about Rollins like that time period like a bit more.
I know,
it was like 75% of the book was like about getting to this point, And then it's like, oh, several years later. And I'm like, well, what happened?
Yeah, that is true. That was kind of jump. But
I will
like,
say,
Dana, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I just didn't read it thinking about the pandemic. And then once it was brought to my attention, I was like, oh, duh. But I didn't really come to it on my own so quickly.
Oh, that's so interesting. I don't know at what point during the book I came to it, but then I was like, it was apples to apples. Some of it. A lot of it. Some things weren't. And it also became like a book about just free will, choice, the role of God. Like, there was just a lot more, but that it felt like the pandemic and the pandemic response was the inspiration for her writing this.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So my thoughts on the book were that I thought it was great from the, I love that it sucked you in the first minute. Like that was like, I was not looking forward to reading this book because I just come off of reading a really bad book, thanks to Dana. And so I was just like not in a reading mood. And I was just so grateful for a book that like within the first 5%, like I care. Yeah. I really didn't know how it was going to play out. You know, was it from aliens? Was it from God? Like, would there be something, that happened, because this is pretty, you know, paranormal, but no, it just became like the new normal, something that you live with. How are we going to live with this? So then once I realized it was a story about people and human behavior, like I enjoyed that for what it was. I definitely liked some story arcs and characters more than others, but I couldn't tell you who I actually liked the best. I feel like there were moments in each story that I liked the best, but like as people, I wasn't like, I got to get back to Jack's chapters.
I also have something to say, and that's, honestly, Maura really got on my nerves because Nina was like the best type of partner that you could have asked for in this, like with this coming out. Like we saw with like Ben and Claire, like Claire dropped him right away, like hot potato. Like Nina literally like was like, I love you. Like I will be here till the rest of your time. Like I'm whatever. And it's like, and I just felt like Maura didn't appreciate that. Like she kept like needing more and like wanting more. And I was like, well, what about like Nina, you know?
Yeah, I didn't feel that way. But when you say it like that, I agree. And I also feel like oftentimes death is the hardest on the people that it leaves behind. So even though Maura knows that her life is going to be cut short, and I think that's what makes it death harder. You know, if she had just passed away, she didn't know she was going to die, then she wouldn't have spent her whole life like fearing the death. But like it would have been the hardest for Nina at that point.
I mean, by the way, it was the hardest for Nina. She lost Maura. She lost Amy. She lost Ben.
No, Nina got fucked.
Nina got fucked.
She had to take care of two kids when she never wanted kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There were likable and not likable things about each character, but I think, you know, that's life and that's people. So
I agree. That's a good observation.
Was unlikable.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't think Ben was. I thought Ben, honestly, was a great, was.
Yeah, I liked
Ben. I liked him, too. He didn't do anything that I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I like that observation that you were not itching to get back to any one narrative, and I totally agree. Like, they were all equally pleasant for me to read.
Yeah, and then, like, when someone new started, I was like, ugh, Nina. But then when Nina's was over, you know, I was like, take me back, because it's, ugh, Amy now.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the DVQs. There were so many wonderful questions about this book, but I have to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear. When it comes to style, it's fun to keep things fresh, so why stick to the same old pair of glasses? We've got a lot of glasses wearers in the Redheads. Mm-hmm. Becky wears glasses, Snitch wears glasses, Dana used to wear glasses, I wear sunglasses, and Pear Eyewear has something for all of us. They have budget-friendly base frames with styles from classic to cat eye that start at just $60, including prescription. With frames designed for men, women, and kids, the whole family can customize their own looks. Ooh, how cute. They have hundreds of magnetic top frame styles to choose from. The top frames start at $25, so you can build a collection that's unique to you and match your outfit. That's so Bex to match your glasses to your outfit. Like, Bex has her red pair top frames with, like, a little red purse. I love that for you. You can support your home team. Dana, you can wear for the Colgate basketball team, or you can read.
What is that called again, Jack?
The Raiders. Yeah, but like the listeners don't know the Raiders, so I just wanted to put it in layman's.
Now they do. Testing you.
The layman's terms. It's so random that we're the Raiders. Anyways, Pear Eyewear has the coolest frames for everyone. So get glasses that stay as fresh and unique as your style with Pear, because glasses are just as unique, you guys, and personal as books. Go to paireyewear.com/redheads for 15% off your first purchase. That's pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com/redheads. Today's episode is also brought to you by Babbel. One of the most exciting things about a new year is that you have no idea what adventures are in store for you. From new travel experiences to new jobs or picking up new skills, there's no better way to prepare for 2023 than by learning a new language with Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions, and thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you can feel confident no matter where the new year takes you. I feel like Babbel is the perfect sponsor for this month's episode because given the themes of this book, The Measure, it makes you think about how short life is, the things you want to do, the things you always said that you would do, but you haven't done them yet. One of those is definitely traveling. And another one of those that I feel like is always people's goal that they put off and put off is learning a new language. And with Babbel, it is so easy to learn a new language. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. They have speech recognition technology that helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has 14 different languages that you can start learning today. Right now, when you purchase a three-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code REDHEADS. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com, code REDHEADS, as always, R-E-A-D-H-E-A-D-S. Thank you to our lovely sponsors. First question, the question on everybody's lips. Would you have opened your box? No. I'll go first.
Yes. Never in a million years.
If I didn't wake up that day and walk outside and like be like, oh, what's this? And open it without knowing. And I like, at first, if I saw it after I knew it was worldwide news, I would wait to see like, what are these boxes? You know, could be anthrax. And then once it was confirmed that it was the measure of your life, I would not open it.
Okay, but let's talk practically, huh? Because
when snatcher.
Think about it. Think about it. All of us, when we get packages, especially like Jackie not and I. Me. Jackie not and me. I know. I get so much random PR. I don't fucking know what comes sometimes.
No, I don't open my packages when I first get them. That's a fun fact about me. I say it all we're the not, time.
No, same, same.
I don't think we should dwell on the accidental no, open. I same. Think you know what's in it, do you open it?
Okay, if you know what's in it, do you open it?
Yeah, that's the question.
Correct.
Do you willingly open it?
Well, I don't know because I spoke.
Jack is a no. Dana's a yes.
I spoke to Jackie yesterday, and she said we'd all, as a family, have to do the same thing.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that we would need to get together with our family and do the same thing. My vote within the family is that none of us open ours, and we just live our lives like, you know, tomorrow could be our last day, but you know, we hope for longer than that, just like we've been doing.
But we haven't been doing. Do you guys think that you live your life right now like it's the last day? Because I don't.
No, but it's also like not practical to live every day like it's your last day. But if really you knew, have to have a job.
But if you knew that your life was going to end in like a year and a half, then like I'd quit my fucking job and I'd go live my life and spend all the money that I have.
I don't know, because you think about someone like Amy, who if she knew that she had a short string, she wouldn't have had two kids. And I think those kids should be here.
Yeah.
So you might not do things that ultimately you should do, and even though it's going to be really hard when you're gone, like I think the alternative is sadder.
I also think that if you know that you have a year and a half left, while it sounds great to go travel and spend your money, I think every single day for that year and a half you'll be so anxious. Yep. You'll be so upset. Yeah. You're literally having a countdown that I think will riddle you with more anxiety than you know what to do with.
Yeah, it won't be enjoyable.
Yes doesn't Yeah, my yes will not yield happiness. I just know myself, and I could never have the self-control to not open it knowing that it exists. Like, I would do it in a
I would,
way that
I would need, like, yeah. Like I don't wouldn't want to open it, but I'm the same way. Like, if I knew that it was, like, burning a hole in my apartment, like, I would freak out. Like, I would need same. Jackie to come and, like, burn it. And, like, so I would never know.
Can't.
You can't.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Burn.
Or, like, so we would need to, like, all take ours and lock them away and throw away the key. Because you can't really destroy them. One of my issues with the book, and some of it felt like really impractical. Obviously, everybody had the same question. You know, if you take a gun to your head times, like, are you going to live? But no, a different issue that I had is that I felt like everybody was either a long string or a short string. And I just feel like some of the short strings that were described, like, were not that short. Like, Ben, agreed. When we found out Ben had 14 more years, yep. like,
I was like, that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. Yes. Like, you can have a full life in that time. And of course, it's not ideal. And, like, for a man, a father to pass away in his 40s, like, is tragic. But, like, it's not Javier who had an actually short string.
1,000%.
I didn't even think Mora's was that short.
Hers was, like, 9 years.
Mora was in the same situation. Yeah. Like, to spend all those 9 years kind of just, like, being sad about the fact that you're a short stringer. And some, like, some people, if you make it to your 40s, like, I don't know that you're a short stringer.
I agree. I had the same thought. And, like, pondering it, it would just so depend on the length. And that would dictate how I would
also
behave.
Like, yeah, like, if you are 70 years old when the boxes come, and then, like, I mean, obviously you're a short stringer, like, you know, the circle of life.
You're a long stringer.
No, you're a long stringer. You've already made
it. It's not how much time you have left. It's how much time you're
hold. Oh. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I understand.
So, no, I would not open it. I personally wouldn't feel tempted, but the only you thing feel that tempted? I found really interesting.
No.
No. Not this even is the only thing that I found interesting, though, and it goes to, like, where the origins of the strings came from. And for me, those strings could only have come from God. Only God has this information. Only God could deliver them all in the middle of the night, not caught on security cameras in a yes. fog. It's like magic. Like, aliens don't know our names and where we live. Like, God knows all. So, to me, that's how the boxes got here, right?
Right. Yeah. But what do I'm people, sure other people who don't so, believe in God so, think?
I don't know. I'm sure, but I'm saying my premises. So, if God decided in 2022, like, up until now, the rules of life are that, you know, you don't know when it's going to be over, but, like, this is how God intended, like, blah, blah, blah. But if it's God's decision that we should know how long our life is going to be while we live it, and he's like, you know, the world has been around for thousands, billions, millions of years, I don't know. Now the rules are changing. Like, I've kind of got to get into God's game. That's the only thing that would hang me up. It's like, God wants me to know because I believe he put this box here.
Or is God testing you to see?
Is he testing me?
Or is this a modern day Garden of Eden? Are you going to eat the apple?
No, is it a test? So or true. Maybe he's like, I want to give you the option. That's it.
No, that's so not God. Like,
I know. He's so stern. Like.
No, but a test. It could be a test.
A test.
I hope it's a test because I don't want to open it. I don't want to know. I like the way we've been living.
You would pass.
Who's to say? No, this is like, it reminds me of Husband's Secret. Like, would you have read the letter? And I'm like, absolutely not. Ignorance is bliss. Like, I'm going to keep doing my thing uninterrupted without like the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I'm going to do what I've always done.
Yeah.
Look at us 40 books in referencing book number one.
It's all that's full circle.
How full circle the redheads are. Okay, so we have two would open, two would not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love that.
No. I never said I would open it.
The snitch is opening it the minute she gets it.
I can't give you an answer. I don't know. I cannot give you an answer. I don't know.
Okay, think on it.
I've been thinking on it since I read the book, bitch.
Wow. So you still have, so if this really happened, like, you still wouldn't have opened it, but you might open it in the future because you're still thinking about it.
Oh, no. I feel like I would have, like, after a year, like, whatever choice I've made, that's my choice, you know?
But you can't ever go back. You could always make the choice to open it, but you can't ever unopen
exactly.
it. Okay. Next question. Is there perhaps a particular age or moment in your life when you would be most inclined to view your string? I mean, I think if you were diagnosed with something, you would want to know if you survive it.
That's true.
That's a good point. Like, I have this fallacy where I have no survival instinct. Like, I just never think I'm in danger. So there's no, like, pinpointed moment in my life. But I guess, like, objectively, maybe when I went skydiving, that would have been, like, a good time to open it. Like, something.
Yeah, but it's
that.
Like, okay, you'll know, you know, if the next 5 minutes are going to be safe, but then you're burdened with that knowledge your whole life.
Yeah, so right. true.
Totally. That's the thing. It's like, you, like, your mind is always going to convince you that, like, this is the thing that I'm going to need to check my string about. And that's, again, a life that I don't want to live. It's just, like, binary yes or no. Like, I'm not checking the string no matter what.
Yeah.
I need your conviction.
I'm not checking my string no matter what, really, unless, like, the whole family was, like, we're checking ours, and then I just would want to know where I fit into it. But I don't think the whole family would do that. And for me, like, ignorance is bliss, always, period.
Period.
Same.
Period. Okay, next question. When the boxes arrive, many people believe they are a hoax. Would you have believed in the box's supernatural powers immediately? Why or why not? Yeah, I'm a believer.
Not immediately.
Not immediately. I would have thought someone was fucking with me. Yeah.
Once I saw that every single person in every single house across the globe, like, you know, people who are living on the streets, wherever they laid their head, every single, it reached everyone. Like, I think I would believe that it was higher power.
It would take me a while. Like, I'm a cynic and a realist and a pragmatic. Like, I would eventually, I think, get to that point, but definitely not immediately.
I agree. I kind of agree.
I think it would have taken me a little bit.
Because we've also never truly, like, actually seen, like, an act of God in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So, like, I think in this being the first one, like, it would just, like, take me a minute to, like, wrap my head around it.
Did 70K mean nothing?
I knew someone was going to say something fucking stupid.
Tina. Perfect. Perfect response. That is so funny. Okay, next. Would you want to open your box with someone else or alone? I thought about this. I want to be in a house with other people, but I want to be in a room by myself.
Interesting. I would want to be with other
I would
people.
Want to be alone. And, like, but, like, if I was in a house with other people, like, I need everyone to be checking theirs as well, but just separately.
Yeah. And then, like, they're there if you need them. I might want some time by myself to, like, process this information, what it means for me. And then share and talk through it. But I like to process alone. I'm a lonely processor.
Me too.
That's so you, Jack.
So me.
Oh, alone, like, I would 100%. Be like, Jackie, like, let's open them together. You're like, I'm sorry. I'm going to do this
no,
on my own.
No, it's like exercise. Like, I'm doing it alone.
I can't have a reaction like that in front of literally anybody.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, and I don't want to worry about what my reaction looks like. Is it wrong? Is it right?
Exactly,
if I have a short
exactly.
when I'm – if I have long and I'm happy and I'm standing next to short who's – like, yeah, no.
Even getting proposed to, I was like, this needs to be private. Like, I absolutely cannot manage.
Josh can't see your reaction.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was private. But even with Josh, you're saying?
No, I was saying, like, private, not, like, in public. Because I would be so focused on, like, what my reaction is and managing it. Like, I definitely can't open this box with anybody.
Okay, knowing the length of their string causes many characters to rethink their careers, their dreams, even their views on marriage and children. Some people quit their jobs and shutter their businesses. Others travel to distant lands. How would knowing about your string or not knowing it affect the way you lived your life?
I think knowing your string would affect your way, the way you live your life, but not knowing your string technically shouldn't.
No, I think not knowing. I think... knowing would actually only affect it negatively, because if it's short, you're like trying to live life to the fullest, but you're miserable. And if it's long, you're like, I'm invincible. I don't care. I'll do it tomorrow. I feel like not knowing, it's great because you don't have to like worry about all those things, but you have the constant reminder that life is short and that it could be really short in that box. I feel like if this happened in the world, which by the way, I'm so grateful every time I close the book that I went back to this world where this is not a thing because it was stressing me the fuck out. I feel like just knowing that there's a box would be a constant reminder to live life to the fullest, and that's enough for me.
Like Amy, I think, had the best experience because she didn't open it.
Yeah, except if she had opened it, she wouldn't have even broken up with Ben because she'd be like, let's do it. Except they might not have had kids, so it's best that she didn't.
Agreed.
That settles that. The author comes up with many unexpected ways the box could influence a society. A rise in experimentation with heavy drugs, the creation of new dating apps, books of ancient mythology becoming bestsellers again. Can you think of other ripple effects the boxes might have on society? What subtle changes might your box have on your life?
This was actually my problem with the book. I'm so singularly focused on how the butterfly effect chaos theory is the right one that I couldn't wrap my head around, like, the concept of one small change yields great impacts elsewhere in the world. It seemed to be a deterministic mentality where no matter what you did, you were going to die at this point. And to your gun analogy, like, what do you mean that you can't shoot yourself in the head with a loaded gun and die after doing it 10 times? Like, it just resonated with me as a bit of a plot hole in terms of, like, I don't think that's actually how cause and effect works.
I agree with that. And also it was like there were some people who knew they were dying imminently. So instead of waiting for some tragic accident, they euthanized themselves. And it's like, well, then you made it a self-fulfilling prophecy that you were going to die on this day.
Self-fulfilling prophecy was the problem in this book for me.
So I don't know what I would do if I knew I had a short string and it was like any day now. You don't want to wait. You really don't want to wait around. And either way, you know, it's any day now. So I understand how they eventually reach that conclusion. But for me, I'm like, well, you're just ensuring that that's what happens.
Yes. I did appreciate, though, how the author, like, really tried to talk about every possible scenario. Like, she did the drugs, she did the dating app. She really, like, got into the nitty-gritty of what every single person might react like.
Yeah, I feel like for me, something that I thought about is I feel like if this were real, people would watch less TV. I feel like we spend a lot of time watching TV, like binge-watching shows. You could spend a whole weekend, like, with your TV on. And I feel like people would do less of that if they really understood, like, the concept of life being so finite and short.
Yeah. No TikTok anymore.
Netflix would lose subscribers. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. You know, it might, like, reconsider how we spend our time.
Yeah.
I liked, like, that the ancient mythology, you know, and people going to holy places. Like, I feel like that's something that would really happen. I thought that was, like, an interesting way to look at it. People looking for meaning. Yeah.
I was rolling my eyes a little bit with the scene. I think she was in Italy, and they were like, oh, we realized forever ago that family is important, like, dumb Americans. It's like, oh, really? You're not affected by this, like, massive macro change in your life because you already, like, figured out how to live? Like, that was bullshit
That's
to me.
That's so funny and so true. When I read it, I was like, family is good.
Yeah. Like,
it was very...
I was like, damn, I got to move to Italy.
It was very reductive.
Yes, I thought so.
I also, like, I thought it was just, I don't know why, like, giant eye roll when they were, like, trying to figure out where to go. And then, like, Maura was in bed and she was like, I've got it. Like, what's one place that's constantly, like, defying the odds? Like, blah, blah, and they, like, go to Venice. Like, I was just like,
Israel.
Yeah, like, I was just like, I can't. That's not so inspiring funny. To me.
It was a really random choice. But the letters to Juliet thing, like, they kind of shoot.
Oh, and then
back.
The part with the touching the breasts of Juliet. Like, I was just like, this is just, like, stop writing at some point, you know?
Well, they were like, we have to go to Italy before it floods. It's going to be underwater soon. It's like, is that imminent?
Yeah, that's.
It kind of is.
Funny. Honestly, I, like, forgot that part of the book.
No, I loved, like, the, like, woke moment of, like, oh, like, of course, like, touching, like, the boobs of the statue. I was like, must we?
No, must. That's where I was like, I just feel like this part just kind of came out of left field.
That's so funny. But I also just saw, like, I followed those, like, history accounts. There's this, like, tomb of some guy who's meant to be, like, if you kiss him, you will become fertile. Oh. And so his lips and his penis are, like, rubbed raw, like,
stop.
Juliet's breasts.
Stop.
Because people are, like, always, you know, they're, like, it sounds weird when you say it, but it's... They're trying to.
What did the rubbing of the breasts get them? Love?
To find love?
I think so. Like, I think it was love.
Yeah. It sounds weird, yeah. But the history post was cute, I thought. The world of the measure feels very familiar to our own, except for one powerful twist. What is the benefit of setting a novel in a slightly altered version of our world? In what ways did this fictional society's reaction to the strings mirror the behavior of our own society? In what ways did it differ?
Okay, I actually think that this book was disadvantaged by having such a parallel setting to our current world because it was such an unrealistic concept that could have resonated maybe better, at least with me, if there were other unrealistic meta magical realism concepts present. Mm. So I just had, like, so many questions about, like, the practicality of getting these boxes to each home and not seeing the person who delivered them or the spirit who delivered them. And, like, if you lost it, could you ever find it again? Like, there was just so many details that I thought, like, if this were a less realistic world, it might have landed better with me. Because the entire time I was just like, eye roll.
That's an interesting point.
Thanks, Jax.
I think this question speaks to the COVID parallels we were saying earlier of just, like, how did that reaction to a major uprising and societal changes impact how we reacted to it? And as we, like, already stated, I think there's similarities.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of similarities in, like, well, now that I think about it, even just, like, you know, the way that it's spread, like, across the globe, the pandemic itself, like, it's the same with the boxes. Of course, like, we'll get to all the different measures that and kind of snowball effect of, like, you know, at first, and she said this in the book, I thought she said it so good because it was so true about COVID. At first, it was something like the fear was something that united us.
Yeah.
And then it was something that tore us apart. And that's so true. COVID, like, early days, we're alone together. Like, yes. And then it's like, eventually it's like, you're not wearing a mask? You have COVID? Like, it, there was so much judgment around every single different way that people reacted to COVID and, like, dealt with it in their own lives, while also not a ton of information. So it's like, you don't know more than me. Well, like, why are you so indignant?
The Strung Together movement reminded me of, was it Vanessa Hudgens with the song? Not her. Who did the, like, we're all in this together COVID song in the beginning of the pandemic?
Oh, the High School Musical.
Yeah. No, that to me was the Strung Together.
Or do you mean Imagine?
I feel like.
Imagine.
Yeah.
No, but imagine, I feel like all of the, like, displays of unity, like, Strung Together felt like a powerful movement. And it did. It ignited, like, so much change. I feel like all of that stuff. But it was more so in the beginning of the pandemic that was, like, meant to unite. It was, like, so corny.
Like, the banging of the pots and pans.
Yeah. And actually, when we needed unification more than ever, there was none of that. No one ever did a movement to, like, accept non-vaccinated back into society.
True.
Just, like, sort of,
yeah,
the vaccine did its thing and then didn't. So it was like, okay, come back.
Yeah, everyone tuned into Cuomo in the beginning. Like, I do feel like when a major cataclysmic event occurs, the fear does drive everyone together from the get-go. That's usually in society what happens before people start having their own opinions and, like, feeling more secure in their future and reacting differently.
Yeah.
What I find so interesting during, like, COVID pandemic, but also, like, in the book, is, like, you get to see how truly selfish everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, all people think about is, like, themselves and, like, how it affects them or it affects their family and, like, not how it affects, like, the overarching, like, world. And, like, that was, like, the issue here with, like, the short stringers. Like, people were, like, so afraid that, like, short stringers were going to, like, I don't know, like, commit an act of violence. And so, like, they were like, in order to protect myself, I, like, want to vote for Rollins, who will, like, not let that happen or whatever. Whereas it's like, but what about, like, all the short stringers that are just like you, who are shitting their pants because they think they're going to die any day?
Yeah. No, and also people could have a long string or short string. Not all long stringers approached having a long string the same. You know, some of them lived their life and enjoyed it. Other people did hard drugs. Other people jumped off of buildings to, like, see what would happen. Same way, short stringers, not everyone who got a short string then was going to handle it the same way.
Yeah. Like, Nina was not selfish. I know she had a long string, but, like, I think they did a good job of pinpointing different personalities
in
it.
Yeah. Agreed. Next. After the Memorial Hospital shooting, Nina describes the boxes as the world's most fucked up version of the chicken or the egg conundrum. Do you think Jonathan Clark's box, that's the shooter, can his box be held responsible for his death? Would you rather see the boxes as a cause or an effect of human choice? So tough. I could go round and round.
I think I see it as an effect. I think that life was going to unfold this way because that's how the universe intended. And now we just have all this fodder making us do 1,000 mental laps around each and every death ever since the boxes arrived.
It really only makes sense to view it through the lens of these boxes were always coming no matter what, because then none of the deaths make
sense.
That's a really good point.
Then some of the deaths don't make sense. Yeah, like Jonathan Clark. Yeah.
Or Hank.
Yeah.
Or Hank.
The doctor. Yeah. Hank.
Yeah.
Or even Javi. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of them tempted fate because of these boxes, and it just wouldn't add up if they hadn't had the knowledge.
Yeah, speaking of Javi, I personally found it so dumb that short stringers couldn't serve in the military. Like, to me, that doesn't make tactical sense.
If anything, they should, because you know they're going to die. So it's like...
Yeah. No, and in any war, like, there will be people who are going to die. To think that, like, the miracle
of
these boxes...
Right, the war will never end otherwise.
To think that the miracle of the boxes is that, like, no one has to die in war... I just thought that was, like, tactically fucking dumb.
No, like, I literally thought...
I sort of got it, though. I don't think that the short stringer should have been precluded from being in the war at all. But, like, I could see why they'd be like, we'll put long stringers here because they're not going to die. Like, we know our mission will be a 10 out of 10 success in terms of, like, not getting our men killed, which I feel like is, like, how they measure
success.
But,
like,
in the situation where Javi died, like, say he was a long stringer. So someone ran back to distract. Instead of him dying, what, he's taken hostage, he's tortured, he lets out state secrets. Like, what is that better. Who knows if he ever comes home? Like,
so freaking true, Jack. So true.
I liked how they kept emphasizing, like, just because you can't die doesn't mean you can't be in a coma, doesn't mean you can't be brain dead, doesn't mean you can't be paralyzed. Like, arguably, that could be a worse fate than death in some circumstances.
For sure.
But, like, making it a rule about short stringers not being able to be in combat is, like, insane to
me. Yeah. And no, and I just don't, like, I'm not a war expert or anything, but, like, people are going to die in war. Like, I just think tactically it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Okay.
Also, do you know what did make a little bit of sense to me? Mm-hmm. And this might be controversial. Not wanting a president to die after 4 months.
Who said it was going to be 4 months, though?
No, that's what I'm putting as, like, the thing. If it's more than 4 years, who cares? Even if it's three, maybe even two. But, like, if you have the knowledge that a president that you're going to elect into office will die very, very soon thereafter, would you choose not to elect
him? It just depends what very, very soon thereafter means. Like,
yeah. Also, because he knew.
Wes Johnson.
He knew when he, like, was going to die. Like,
yeah.
Month.
And he was alive, like, for a while longer.
Yeah, if it's almost the full term, then I think they should be elected. If it, like, let's just say 2 months, how do you feel?
It's about, I feel like when you're voting, like, for a president, it's, yes, it's about obviously the person, but you're also voting for, like, kind of like their whole, like, what's the
set
word?
Of ideas.
Set of ideas. So it's like, you know that their VP is likely also has those similar set of ideas. So it's like, okay, if he dies, like, then there's this person who's, like, somewhat, if not the same sort of vibe, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, also, correct me if I'm wrong. Now that I'm thinking back, I feel like Rollins was saying that he couldn't serve 2 terms.
I don't know.
I can't remember the specifics.
Because I remember, like, Wes Johnson then started a foundation for short stringers that comes up later, like, in the middle of, you know, the following years, like, at the end of the book. And so I think he's still alive. But I feel like in Rollins' speech, he was like, you know, an ideal president, they do a great job 4 years, they give you another 4 years, and if they can't, like, if you knew someone, I don't know. I don't know how much longer he had.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were purposely vague about his actual
And
timeline.
I also feel like if he really only had 2 months, like, I don't think he would spend them on the campaign trail.
Agree.
But I also agree with Snitch, like, you are voting for, like, the policies.
Yeah, like, those were the sort of questions it raised that I really enjoyed thinking about. Like, even the doctor one, okay, if you're going to go to med school and, like, a day later die, do you want to go to med school anymore?
Well, sure,
like,
that's a question that you can ask yourself. Do you want to go to med school? Not, should med school let you in?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
But I feel like that, no, the doctor, the medical ones were really interesting because it's like, if you have a shorter string than someone, like, and you're on a transplant list.
Yeah, those were interesting.
And that's where, like, I was thinking about the vaccine, because people who didn't get the vaccine were denied transplants. So it's like, to me, that felt, like, very analogous.
Yeah, it's like they're measuring.
Wait, what was the short string?
If you were short string, you...
Like, I don't know if they had a transplant thing, but if you had a short string, like, in this world that Nikki Ehrlich wrote about that's, like, so fucking cutthroat, why would you get a transplant? Why would you... You know, they're so hard to come by. Why wouldn't they give it to someone with a long string? Or say you're, like, 1 and 2 on the list, like, and one has a shorter string than 2. Should 2 go before 1? Like, questions like that I found really interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Did you guys also find Javi's reaction to Jack, like, so extreme?
Like, that he didn't stand, like, when he wouldn't stand up to
Anthony? And, like,
yeah, I didn't think it was fair.
Also, like, I know, like, Jack kind of did this for selfish reasons, but, like, what about a thank you to Jack? You know, like,
yeah,
I was just like, this was all Javi wanted, and, like, Jack gave it to him. So, like, I understand that, like, you're kind of annoyed, but, like, I don't know, like, to completely cut him off, and, like, I just felt like it was such an overreaction.
Yeah, I did have a similar take, Snitch, where I was like, all right, give the poor kid a break. Like, he has a really intimidating, scary family. Like, it's overnight. He's not going to get on stage and blast his president-elected uncle in front of the whole world.
And I just...
So I kind of...
I don't know what he expected him to do. And even what he did do, I think the author made it into, like... And that inspired the girl who did the strung together speech.
I didn't feel but that, like, way.
Realistically, he comes off looking like a crazy short stringer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really don't know what Javi like thought that Jack could do. And also like Javi knew Jack better than anyone to know that like he's just like not that guy.
Yeah. Also like I feel like their whole story is about how like Jack has no courage and Javi does. So like now all of a sudden you expect him to be a different person.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I liked their storyline because I thought it was so interesting, the switch. Yeah. But there was some bumps along the way.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, next question. Do you think any members in the public arena, such as doctors, employers, or government officials, should be able to know the length of someone's string? Should short stringers be able to Should short stringers be able to publicly identify themselves in order to receive legal protections or government aid? Do you think political candidates should be able to use their strings during a campaign like Anthony did?
I just feel like it should be a private matter.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to report like private stuff, period. But I mean, if Anthony wanted to use his long string as a strength in his campaign, like, go for it.
Agreed.
But to like then insist that everyone else share, that shouldn't be something that's like mandated. But the idea that short stringers then should get legal protections or government aid, well, like only if you're making them suffer because they're having short strings, you know?
Or like in the same conditions that currently affect people. Like if you are like not able to work because of an ailment and you need aid, then you should get aid, but not because you have a short string, because you need help.
Yeah, but it's like you shouldn't get fired for having a short string and then have to get government aid because you're unemployed because you have a short string.
It's like the answer to that question is dependent on how like the government is handling the strings.
Yeah, but I would say overall, like there shouldn't be any different treatment for anyone based on the length of the strings.
Yeah.
Even the organ donor example? That one, I keep going back.
Even the organ donor example, yes, because the person you know is going to live long anyway.
And that's my problem with the book. That was the only tension in the book where I'm like, is this a self-fulfilling prophecy? And they tried to touch upon it a few times. They were like, wait, Hank, he survived because of you. He didn't, like, not because of the string, because of you. I'm like, well, pick one. Is it fate or did Hank save his life? Like, I kept struggling with that.
And it's like, for the organ donor, how short is the string? Do we have another 10 years versus the person who has 20? Then that means that he should have this lung and the next person has the next lung.
I did love how they made you think Ben's was a medical issue and then it was a car crash. Like, the more you try to pinpoint faint and, like, go around it, it just goes to show you.
Yeah.
That was the only good part of the book.
When he died? No, the twist.
When you expect it to be one thing and it was another and then, like, surprise, Amy's in the car too.
I had to read it twice because I was like, I thought that was weird that they said it, they called it Ben and Amy's car. I guess, like, they have one car and they just want you to know that it's the one car. And then I read it back again, and with the sentence before, it said everybody in their world was prepared for it, but they weren't prepared for that day when they got the call about Ben and Amy's car. I was like, she's dead.
Yes.
I was shook.
I was waiting for something like that. Like, when is someone going to die in a way that we don't realize they're going to die?
100%. I didn't know what I was waiting for, but then that was it, and that it felt right, even though it was
the only thing. Right. It was the only thing that happened after the unveiling of the boxes.
Hank died. Ben and Amy had their pen pal relationship. Ooh. And then IRL and will they, won't they.
Nina got into a fight with Maura or with Amy.
Oh my god, dumb. Yeah. Amy was wrong. Oh, this so is wrong. This won't come up in the questions, but like Amy's reaction to finding out Ben had a short string after like it was so clear that they were perfect for each other. Oh, and his string is still 14 years left, wench. Like, would you rather have, like, true fucking love for 14 years or be, like, a loser spinster for the rest of your life? Like, seriously, what's the choice to be made?
1,000%.
Also, Amy, maybe you just bite your tongue because it's not up to you.
Yeah, no, but I just felt like the whole time she was kind of the voice of reason, especially because for me, she didn't open her box. So I was like, this is the character I can relate to. I would not open my box. I'm with Amy. She was, like, a teacher. She wrote the letter. She's so cute, blah, blah, blah. And then her his poor reaction to Ben's string. That is long, by the way. That is mid-length. I couldn't relate. And I'm so glad Nina read her to filth.
And Ben was such a mensch about it. He didn't pressure her. He danced with her at the wedding. He waited patiently for her to come around to it. He should have left her ass.
Yeah, he was 100%. So patient. I felt so sorry for him. He didn't deserve
and
that.
She was like, wait, I'm jealous. He's flirting with a girl.
It's like, yeah, you are, wench. Okay, last DBQ. Religion takes on varying degrees of importance in the characters' lives. Javier is Catholic, Niall is Hindu, and other characters aren't observant. How do you think the arrival of strings might impact a person's religious devotion or lack thereof? Another theme. Remember when we used to do themes in the Redheads? Yes. It was a very vague Ooh. Segment.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I'd say wow. A theme of this book, TBT. Religion, discuss.
I feel like this is either strengthens or weakens your religion, like corresponding to your string length.
Perhaps.
I feel like if anything, it strengthens.
Yeah.
If you have a long string.
No, but even if it's a short one, it's like when you're in like such a dire situation, like you don't know what to do, who to turn to. You can't really turn to anyone in the real world because everyone's going through the same shit. There's only one place to turn. Drugs or religion.
I agree. I feel like you could make the argument for either side. And I also feel like overarchingly for me, you know, this just shows the presence of God that all these boxes showed up.
Yeah. I do agree with you that I felt like it was a godly event and not more science fiction-y explanation.
Anyone else? Where did you guys think they came from?
I wanted them to tell me. God. Like, I'm annoyed that we didn't get like anything clearer on that.
There's just no practical way. And the book, aside from the boxes mysteriously arriving, like the whole rest of the book was practical.
I know. That's 100%. Where I have a hard time.
That's what Rebecca
said. Hello. I was like, I need some more like sci-fi woo-hoo.
Yeah, like someone like outliving their string or something.
I know. I kept waiting for that.
Yeah.
Me too. I thought at one point, like once Javi dies, then it's going to inspire other people to think in their mind that the string doesn't dictate your fate. And then they'll go against their fate because then they'll have a different mindset of like how life's supposed to be lived.
But I have a problem. Because Javi wouldn't have stayed back. Javi knew by staying back he was going to die. And he only did that because he got a short string. So, like...
Yeah, no, and no, that's what we said. No, in some ways, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. These short stringers made their short string fate come true because they, like, you know, Hank took the bullet for that woman. Some of them literally took, like, cyanide pills because they didn't want to die getting hit by a car. But I think that, you know, if Javi had gotten back on the... helicopter, like maybe he would have fallen out of it or something, like an accident would have gotten him.
Totally.
Yeah, it wasn't like you are definitely gonna die this way. It's just you're gonna die at this time.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah. Okay, that was the DBQs. Great discussion so far, everyone. Before we get into the Redheads questions, I need to let you know that today's episode is also brought to you by Nutrafol. So many of us Redheads love Nutrafol. It is a wonderful hair care system. 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you are among them, know you're not alone and that there is a solution that you can trust to deliver results. Millions of Americans experience thinning hair. It's more than common. It is normal, but it's not really openly talked about, especially amongst women. Well, Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the five root causes of thinning hair. Those causes are stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism through whole body health. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months of Nutrafol. And we should add someone to this clinical study because Dana has started taking Nutrafol to counter some of these factors that we're talking about that can lead to hair thinning. So Dana, what has been your experience with Nutrafol so far?
So as a little background, for beauty and self-care, my hair is the only thing I care about. I don't wear makeup, I don't care about clothes, but I am obsessed with my hair to the point where I have used the same shampoo and conditioner for the past 25 years because I'm too scared of like messing my hair
That's
up.
Crazy.
And now that I'm in my late 30s,
what?
Now that I'm 31, now that I'm approaching a later year in life, 31, I've started to notice some of my luster's gone. My hair isn't as long as it used to be. I don't have that same bounciness. So this supplement has done wonders for me because I'm finally back to that like 15-year-old girl hair where it's bouncy and luxurious and amazing. And I couldn't recommend it more.
Love that for you. If you guys want to be like Dana, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show. by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code REDHEAD to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, there's free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code REDHEAD, spelled R-E-A-D-H-E-A-D. Thank you, Dana. I'm so glad that you are loving our new sponsor. Okay, let's get into the redhead questions. First, this was a question that I really appreciated getting. How did you feel while reading this book? Anxious, nervous?
Bored.
I felt intrigued.
Yeah, I felt like I was really transported into a different world. Like when I was in the book, I was like in this world. And then when I was out of it, I was like, I feel like I would, you know, be going about my day and I'm like, oh, like the boxes would be hanging over. I'm like, no, it's not real. There's no boxes, you know, because it was so similar to our world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I felt meditative and reflective.
Yeah. So maybe like a little anxious too. Like what's next? Mm-hmm. Next, the author chose to focus her story on the lives of individual characters and the impact the boxes had on their lives versus delving into the mystery of the boxes. Where did they come from? Who was sending them? How did they arrive on doorsteps without anyone seeing them delivered? I found myself wishing the plot explored the sci-fi angle or the origin story of the boxes a bit more. Any other redheads feel the same?
I totally get that because I brought this point up earlier, but I don't feel the same necessarily. Like, I understand the intention of this book and I understand, like, the thought-provoking nature of many of the themes that we ended up discussing. I was just saying that the book is kind of at a disadvantage for not having more sci-fi-esque angles because it could have made it a bit of a more believable plot and narrative.
Yeah, I feel like
I think it would have just been a different book if there were more sci-fi, and that wasn't the author's intention, so I have to respect that.
Yeah, she had to do this one thing, be like, you wenches can suspend disbelief for a second and just pretend like this happened.
Agreed. Deal with Origins it. Is a different book, an entirely different book.
Yeah, it was kind of like Nothing to See Here. It's like the kids go on fire, deal with it.
Yeah, 100%. Magical realism, it's a genre. If you don't like it, don't read more.
Look at us recalling another redhead's classic.
The redheads always self-reference.
Hey.
Next, I really enjoyed the conversation between Ben and Amy about the idea of happiness. Do you think everyone deserves to be happy? What does it mean to be happy? Can your happiness change?
I personally, not to change the subject, like the conversation better between Nina and Amy when Nina was like, yo, for centuries in marriage, we've been vowing to be with each other through sickness and health. Like, why now is it the most foreign concept? Like, this has been the case. We never knew what the future was. Like, are you all kidding me?
No, totally. I think I highlighted that. I don't have my Kindle up here, but I really like that too. And I also feel like it's like, why is everyone acting like death is new? Like that it is something, like it feels like no, I feel like back in the day, like hundreds of years ago, like, and they said this, that people used to be like much more comfortable with death. They would live with it. Yes. They had the box in the house and they wore black. And like, it was just a more, maybe because like, live, you know, healthier lives and people are living longer, that people kind of push off the idea of death. But like, it has always been part of the deal.
Agreed. I thought that resonated the most with me in the book. The line about marriage being in sickness and health. Like, why does it have to be different now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Ben and Amy's letters were sweet. But like, I like the fact that they were talking. I didn't really care what they were talking about. Except I love that Gertrude was the lady love of Simon, whose prayer card was Cal's, who gave to Jack, who gave to Javi. And it was Jewish. And she was a Jewess.
Yeah. This author loved connections.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's a point that I did not connect. I literally saw the name Simon, and I was like, wait, are she, like, mocking the situation? I did not make that connection. Thank you, ladies.
So, so cute. I liked that. Okay, next question. My husband is 15 years older than me, and I felt so many correlations between being in a relationship with someone and someone with a short string. A lot of the fears and feelings discussed in the book were the same fears I had to work through with my relationship, because he will likely go before me. It may sound silly, and I recognize it is different, but can you see a connection here? Do you think it was intentional by the author? That's so interesting, because that never occurred to me. But it's just about like where you're at in your life and just like what you're thinking about. That's how you interpret the book. I actually had someone write a really sweet email about how she read this book like the same week her friend was diagnosed with something terminal, and that she was so grateful to have this book. It's just like to kind of pull her out of it and like remind her just like what life is about. So I feel like wherever you're at is like how you kind of read this book.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that this personal anecdote like colored her whole reading of the novel, because I do feel like it was so personal.
Yeah. And I never thought of it like that. But I guess everybody like takes away something different from the book. And also because all the characters are so different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you enter into a relationship with someone with a short string? Have children with them? What if you were already together when the boxes came?
If you're already together, yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, then wouldn't be a fucking bitch like Claire.
Yeah. And then to get into one. Well, how much time are we talking? You know?
Yeah.
I think that's my answer.
Like if it's been and it's 14 correct. Years. Honestly, it's hard enough to find someone. If I find someone and they have a short string, I'm fucking in. Like.
Yeah, you can.
I can't get specific now. Yeah. No.
It is such a crazy concept, though. It's such a hard question. If you're like, wow, like in 6 years, let's say, like 8, 9 years, like that's a long time, but like being a widow with like young kids, it's a lot to
it's a lot, but you know what, like God will make up for it in other ways. Like you just have to trust the process.
Yeah, but that's
I know, but
what,
I also
that's what like not ever having a string is about, trusting the process. So people aren't able to trust the process because they know too much.
Yeah,
now.
You have to trust the timing of your life, but you can't do that if you know the timing of your life.
I would not leave someone I was already with. I don't know if I'd get into a relationship with someone who had less than 7 years.
Yeah.
I also don't think that like there's only one person for one person. You know, like, I think that there are many fish in the sea, mm-hmm. and like if it wasn't this person, then I would find someone else and I would be okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
But I think if you're in a relationship and they have a super short string, like you love them and you want to, you're not going to leave when the going gets tough. Like you're not a fucking asshole. And if they have like a Ben size string, like, okay, then we shall. Like, I liked what Amy and Ben did. They planned. They did the will. He set up the trusts. Like, in that way, the strings were a blessing because they weren't blindsided by this, and they lost both their parents. So they mm-hmm. would have been really, really in a bad place if they never had the strings. So, weirdly, the strings are good. They're good and evil. It was...
Yeah.
Tough.
Tough.
Agreed.
Okay, next question. Do you think the trade between Javier and Jack was right?
Yeah.
Love that for them. Yes.
Totally.
Do you think Amy would have married Ben knowing the length of her own string? Of course, it would have showed that they literally should get together. There should be an app that measures strings for you and puts you with people.
But I don't know if they would have had kids.
Would she have had kids?
No, they wouldn't. Okay, so Snitch, thank you for saying that, because last night I was FaceTiming with Snitch. Oh my God. She was at 85%.
I can't believe we haven't spoken about this.
I know. Okay, Vex, she was at 85% of the book, and she told me that at the beginning of the call. Then later in the call, we just came back to talking about the book, and she said, would you open your box? And I said, no. I said, if Amy had opened her box, they wouldn't have had two kids. And she literally didn't know they got together, they had kids, or that Amy had a short string in there.
I'm dead. Yeah.
But
I would have loved to know what my reaction would have been had I read it normally.
Snitch, I'm sad
I know.
For you.
Because I was robbed.
Again,
you were robbed. So I'm really, really sorry. I just got carried away. And that's all I could keep thinking about. I was so grateful she didn't open her box because they wouldn't have had kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would have been really intense to, like, have children knowing you were about
to leave them with them. I actually don't think any of us would have chosen to have kids to leave them without parents. Like, that is a horrible decision to make.
What if you had a sister like Nina?
Who's also married to a short stringer and is
you can't ask her, who also didn't really want kids at all. So it's like, what, you're gonna now ask her? And like, it all ended up working out in the way that it did, but like, to ask her to do that, and like that's so much.
Yeah, everyone like steps up when they need to, but it's not something that like
you volunteer for,
and that if you know about that you enter into. So it's for the best that she didn't know, which again, in that situation, strings are evil, but they allowed Ben to plan. Strings are good. Next. The plot echoed the COVID pandemic pretty heavily with the timeline, the rules put in place, the divisions in society. How do you think the story would have been written differently if the author had written it before the pandemic?
Here's someone who had the pandemic parallel.
I can't believe more people didn't, like...
Yeah, I think some people did, but I didn't want to put like all the questions the same, you know, but so we touched on the pandemic. So I think that on the one hand, it's like she really merits so many of the things that happened, even down to like the army being the first one to be like barring entry from the workforce, all of these things. And on the one hand, like it's very close to what happened in the last few years. On the other hand, like it just mirrors human behavior throughout history. Like people don't change. That's why history repeats itself. It's like we look at things that happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they were like, they were so evil. And it's like the same thing could happen today, and the same amount of people would act in an evil manner, and the same amount of people would act in a good manner, because human nature is the same, and like people still act out of fear. So I don't know if she would have written the book without the pandemic as an inspiration, but I don't think that like the last few years were the only time in history that could point to a reaction like this. And I think also it makes you like, you know, I feel like, well, most people, they look back at history, they're like, well, I would never have done that. I would have been one of the good ones. And like, it just, the last years maybe you reassess, maybe you would have let your fear get the best of you.
Yeah. I don't know how this book would have taken shape without the pandemic as like the foreground for her to think about these things. A bare minimum.
I want to see if she's done any interviews or anything, and like if she talks about the pandemic and whether or not like how heavily it influenced this book, because it obviously March boxes influenced the book. Okay, last question. What do you think the box's inscription, "The measure of your life lies within," really means? Great last question.
I know that the book is trying to be deep with this, but I actually just took it literally. It's like, this is measuring how many years
I couldn't agree more. It's so literal. Like, the measure of your life lies within.
And actually, I would have liked to see, you know, a more metaphysical meaning for it. But like, no, because nothing about the string shows the quality of your life. Maybe if the strings were all different colors, and if you had a red string, you lived a bad, evil life, and it could have been ombre all the way up to like a green, good string. So it didn't even measure the quality of your life, just the quantity.
Yeah, like totally. The actual string only measured the quantity. You can then choose how to live your life qualitatively from it, but I don't think you can say the box itself had held any deeper meaning.
Honestly, straight facts.
Straight facts.
Preach. Okay, now it is time for the moral of the story. There are so many. My personal moral is ignorance is bliss.
I have two. Trust the timing of your life.
Okay.
Second, quality over quantity.
Shit counts.
Nice, snitch.
Bex?
I totally agree. Ignorance is bliss, and let the cards fall as they may.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Oh, is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Chips?
Yeah.
Chips. Okay. Let the chips fall.
Gorgeous. Dana.
Man plans, God laughs.
Ha 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 ha.
Totally. Except this book felt a little like God planning.
God planned and man laughed.
Yeah, God plans, man cries. Man cries.
Okay, those are all it. We are skipping the Hollywood treatment for this book because there's too many characters. Yeah. This episode is too long. I wanted to do more questions than character treatments. And I didn't really have anyone in mind.
Me neither.
The whole time I was reading, I didn't feel like itching to share casting choices. So I'm sorry if you were excited for that. But now it is time for our overall rating of this book. And we also have to have a little conversation because I'm really feeling badly that Becky's choice was like kind of ruined by my influence. And I think I should claim this one and give you my next book.
I really don't care. We can discuss offline.
Okay, we'll discuss offline.
Okay, so the next book will be announced on our Instagram?
No, the next book is still Dana's.
Sorry.
But it would be like my third, like whenever I'm next, because I just did Marjorie Post, like Becky would get mine. So she would get four books this year, or you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I'm following.
No, I'm happy to take ownership of this book because I had other options and I went with it and I liked the concept and I like stood by it. I'm not sure I would have selected it without your influence, but that's life. I'm good.
Okay. Okay. Let's.
And like, I've read books, like, my selections I've also not loved in the past. Like, it's
that's true.
This is how it happens. Let the chips fall as they may.
Literally. Okay, so we'll see. Like, we'll see in a few months when it comes time for my choice, and I'm like, I feel like I just had two picks. Bex, maybe you take this one. We'll see where we're at.
Totally.
Okay, let's rate this book. Becky, as for now, it is a Becky's choice.
I gave it a 3.5.
Nice. I, since it's almost a Jackie's choice, gave it a 4.5 because it was like 5-y, but not all the way.
Crazy. Like deluge.
Snitch.
I'm struggling because the more we spoke about it, like the more I started to not like it.
That just might be because you're sick and this is a really long episode.
Oh, that's true. All right. I'll stick with my ridge of 4.
Yeah. Is that like what you gave it on Goodreads when you finished?
Yes.
Yeah. Dana?
4.1.
Oh my God, guys.
4.025. That feels right.
That feels right.
And let me go to our spreadsheet and tell you where that ranks amongst the other books. The measure is number 14 overall. It is above Codename Helene, but below Detransition Baby, and above that is The It Girl, which is, this list is so fucking crazy to me.
Wait, by the way, The It Girl was so good.
I know, but it was like kind of forgettable.
By the way, yeah. We'll sort this all out in March Madness.
Yeah,
but also, by the way, where was Midnight Library?
Midnight Library is number 5.
Okay, good. That feels good.
What's the craziest thing is We Are the Brennans being number 10.
Oh my God. That's
crazy.
The We Are the Brennans conundrum, like, plagues us.
I know. Insanity. We were just feeling so generous. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, let's finish up the episode with the over other books that we read this month. Snitch, you read anything?
Oh my God, I have to tell you about this book that I read. Like, it was seriously so abysmal. Like, it took me, I'm not joking, maybe 3 weeks to a month to read because I simply couldn't pick it back up because I had read Meant to Be by Emily Giffen and I loved it. And people were like, oh, you should read The One and Only by Emily Giffen. And I was like, great, okay. I'm going to tell you the premise of this book, okay? Essentially, it's about this, like, Friday Night Lights vibes, like this small town in Texas. And there's this girl, she loves football, all this stuff. And her best friend, her father is the coach of the football team. Okay. And they're best friends. She loves football. The daughter doesn't. She's more into fashion. Whatever. 20 years later, the wife of the coach, and so her best friend's mom, passes away. Very sad, whatever. And the whole premise is like that the daughter's best friend and the coach, like, fall in love. And it's like, you're supposed to be like shipping this couple. And it's like, he's like a 50-year-old man, and you're not saying that the age is, but it's just weird. It's like your best friend's dad that he, oh, by the way, she didn't really have a dad, so he was like her father figure who she then falls in love with. It was seriously like one of the most batshit books I've ever read. I was like, I can't believe it. Like, this is what we've been waiting for. So yeah, in that regard, like, I would give it a 1.5.
Damn. Well, wow. In the spirit of bad books, I read The Marriage Portrait by Maggie O'Farrell. It was a Dana's choice. She recommended it because she read it and it's like historical royalty. It's about one of the Medici daughters and it was horrible. I gave it 2 stars. Don't read it. Bex?
I will say I didn't love it. It just was a popular book about the royals. So I'm like, this has to be the Super Bowl for Jackie.
It was so not. And I kept reading because I was like, it's in my genre and Dana recommended it. It has to be literally the best book I ever read. And it was one of the worst. No. So you want to talk about pontificating. There were page after page where there wasn't a paragraph indentation. Snatchler. Page after page where there wasn't a paragraph indentation. It was just huge chunks. No quotes, nothing. Just describing dream sequences. Fruits.
No. No.
Everything.
No.
Fruit. I love a fruit.
Bex, did you read?
I read a book called City of Girls, which was also a Dana recommendation. It was so good, you guys. It was giving me hardcore Rules of Civility energy, yeah, which I love, 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 love.
I am going to read
so,
that.
So, Jax, you should put it on your
I
list.
I know, you told me.
You would love it, Jackie. Okay. It's so up your
Dana,
alley.
Dana, you're on probation, but since Rebecca recommended
this one will redeem it. You would love, love, love this book. It's Rules of Civility, but
this can
better.
Be a... This can be a... No, I don't think it's better than Rules of Civility, but it can be a Bex recommendation.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
You're going to like it.
Adding it to my list.
I only read two books this cycle. The first was Recursion by Blake Crouch. I gave it a 4.4. I thought it was great. He's the author that wrote Dark Matter that I can't praise enough. I loved that one. So I read the other one by him, and it was not as good, but still good. And then I read The School for Good Mothers by Jessamine Chan. Was not a fan. Gave it a 2.5. Not interested. Don't read it. Blech.
I saw that one around the interwebs and...
Same, so I was yeah. willing to give it a chance. I'm here to do the hard work for you. Don't do it.
Great. Okay, it sounds like it was kind of a bust for all of us, yeah. except for City of Girls. But then The Measure was a bust for you. So it was a busty month for all of us.
And maybe that's also what happened is like I came off of City of Girls and like then it was a bust, you know?
Yeah. It's all that about happens. Where you're at. I came off of Marriage Portrait, so anything was going to be really exciting.
Totally.
Okay, well, that's a wrap on our March episode, our Becky's / Jackie's Choice. And now next month is a Dana's Choice. Dana, what are we reading?
I'm taking a major detour from my usual literary fiction. This could not be less of a me book, but I wanted to spice it up, and I just wanted to, like, go a little rogue and see what happens. I am picking Big Swiss by Jen Began. That's all I'll tell you. You'll have to read it to learn more.
I read the first few lines of the description, and it was definitely shocking.
Am I going to be okay?
Yeah, it's supposed to be sexy.
I think you'll like it.
I think it's sexy, and it's weird. People are comparing it to My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Otessa Moshfegh, which Dana and I both read and we really liked. I'm down for weird. Just your last April's choice was Our Country Friends. So.
Oh, God.
No. Oh, last April. I was like, that couldn't be my last.
We're coming into this month with a little bit of trauma. So.
Trauma.
Well, if we're going to have another bad book, at least I'm, like, on cycle. You
and
know?
You know what? We're kind of due for one. We've been really, really solid.
Yeah.
What was the last bad book? Like, literally not since All Roads Lead Here or whatever.
Oh, I like that book.
Like, we've kind of been on a streak.
Yeah, we actually have been.
So I'm willing to risk it. Yeah. These episodes have been too harmonious.
Honestly, you guys, these episodes recently, like, I've been the dissenter. The contrarian. Like, I'm not
Our
well.
Reviews are going to change from hating me to hating you.
I don't know, Snitch.
Yeah.
Snitch, no they love to hate you.
That's so true.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much. I'm sorry this episode was so long, but there was so, so much to discuss. We will see you on the next one. Thank you for being a redhead. Follow us at the redhead. Join the 70,000 others who are just loving our content.
Did someone say 70,000?
It was an act of God. Love ya. Bye.
Love ya.
Bye.